announcements. I don't hear anything.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome everybody today to this beautiful day. We hope that you have a chance after the service today to go to our hot dog sundae. I think that'll be a lot of fun. Just want to read a few of the announcements today. Well, actually, most announcements are in there. I just want to highlight there'll be no adult Sunday school or junior church or choir rehearsals during the summer months of June. And thanks to everyone who has participated. And thanks for those who've been donating to the Aetna Bread of Life. If you do want to continue donating, that would be great. That would be wonderful. And remember, we have a vacation Bible school the week of July 16th through 20th. And if you want to volunteer, please contact BJ. Also want to welcome today our guest minister, Betty Angelina. She is the executive director of Crestfield Camp and Conference Center, the outdoor ministry site of the Pittsburgh Presbytery. And before being in this position, Betty was a nurse for over 25 years, specializing in pediatric allergies and asthma. Betty and her husband, Dave, who's recently retired, now live in Slippery Rock, so she's come down a long way for this, across the street from Crestfield, and have two grown sons. Are there any other announcements for today? Yes, Carol?
Still need help with the flower beds.
Carol's still looking help for the flower beds.
I won't be here.
Okay, she won't be here this week to help with the flower beds. Okay, weeds can always be pulled. Any other announcements by anyone else?
Hot dogs afterwards.
Yes, reminder again, we have hot dogs again today afterwards. Please come on over and have lots of hot dogs. Hope you brought a friend. Other announcements? Okay. Please sign the little red books there. Sign them, pass them down if no one else has signed them there. And if there are anything in the I Wish cards, please sign those. And next week, we look forward to having Leonard return. With that, I'll turn the service over to Angelina.
Okay.
Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Good morning. It's good to be here. I was so excited when Artis sent me that little email that says, can you come and be with us this morning? And said, of course I can come and be with you this morning. It's great. You all welcome me so wonderfully. Let us begin worship by a call to worship. It's Psalm 47, the first few verses. Listen and prepare your hearts to honor and worship the Lord. Clap your hands, all your nations. Shout to God with cries of joy. How awesome is the Lord Most High, the great King over all the earth. He subdued nations under us, peoples under our feet. He chose our inheritance for us, the pride of Jacob whom he loved. God has ascended amidst shouts of joy, the Lord amid the surrounding of trumpets. Sing praises to God, sing praises. Sing praises to our King, sing praises. And so let us sing a hymn of praise together. This is my Father's world.
Is my Father's world, and to find His
Hallelujah for this beautiful world our Father has given us. My friends, if we think we haven't sinned, we're only just joking with ourselves. We have sinned, but now is the time to come before God and confess those sins right to Him. Let us pray together. Eternal God, in whom we live and move and have our being, whose face is hidden from us by our sins, and whose mercy we forget in the blindness of our hearts, cleanse us from all our offenses, and deliver us from proud thoughts and vain desires, that with reverent and humble hearts we may draw near to you, confessing our faults, confiding in your grace, and finding in you our refuge and strength. Through Jesus Christ, our Son. Amen. Please spend some time in personal confession. Amen. Friends, I got really good news for you this morning. Believe in the good news of the gospel, for in Christ we are all forgiven.
We believe in the forgiveness of sins. We are saved by grace through faith. This is God's gift in Jesus Christ.
Let us profess our faith together using the Apostles' Creed. You can find it either on the screen or in the back cover of the hymnal. And as I tell the campers and the staff at Crestfield, loud and strong, loud and strong. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From then he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We are God's family together. Let us greet each one with love.
Good morning, dearest.
Good morning.
Hello. How are you?
Uh-oh. I'm good.
How are you?
Oh, there is a flower.
beautiful. I think God answered our prayers, huh?
Yes, he did. Amen.
A promise fulfilled that was, that anthem. Yeah, huh? If you can all turn in your red hymnals to number 649, this is the responsive reading for today, The Vine and the Branches. And as we read this together, I would ask that when you hear abide, think remain also. That will be important later on. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser.
Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it, that it may bear more fruit.
You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you.
Abide in me. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me.
I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it shall be done for you.
By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples.
Just as the Father has loved me, I also loved you. Abide in my love.
If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love.
These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be made full.
This is my commandment, that you love one another, just as I have loved you.
Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friend.
You are my friends if you do what I command you.
No longer do I call you slaves, for the slave does not know what his master is doing.
But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you.
You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you, that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give to you.
This I command you, that you love one another.
Thanks be to God. Now is our time to come together in prayer. And so I ask, what prayers do you have together that you would like to offer? Prayers of joys and prayers of concerns for all of us as a community to pray together. Yes. So we offer up prayers to God for the opportunity to fellowship, to be together eating hot dogs as we celebrate the beginning of summer, but also that the proceeds will be plentiful for Christian. Yes?
Prayers for young friend Sean, who's just
here. We offer up Sean to God for his continued healing touch as Sean recovers from the hospital, his stay in the hospital. Yes? We'll pray for God's healing touch on JR. Headaches are terrible. We'll ask that God quickly heal him. Anyone else? Yes. We will pray for prayers of healing for you. But and your husband Robert? And what is your name, please? I'm sorry, I don't. Muriel, okay. Lord, we ask that you come and heal Muriel and Robert also. Uh-huh. Yes?
My sister-in-law Lynn, my husband, lost his partner from cancer.
Yes. We will pray for God's healing touch for Lynn, and we will also pray for your brother who has experiencing so many difficulties at this time. Yeah.
Pray for Suzanne Connors. She's over at the other worship hall, but thank goodness she did not have a heart attack.
Oh.
And we also pray for BJ, who is now retired.
Whoa! What did you retire from?
Being a secretary.
From being a secretary? Well, congratulations for years of service, but look forward to a new phase in your life, huh?
Oh, I am.
And who did not have a heart attack?
Suzanne Connor.
Suzanne, oh, we get after our prayers of joy for Suzanne, huh?
Right,
yes.
Right. She's over at the hot dog thing.
That hot dog thing keeps coming up, so I think we're supposed to go over there this afternoon.
And we pray for Jim Teggy, too.
And we'll pray for Jim also. Let's have some prayers also for Leonard, that he has a time of rest and relaxation and rejuvenation, and then he comes back home to you safe and sound. Anything else? Let us pray together. Gracious God, because we are not strong enough to pray as we should, you provide Christ Jesus and the Holy Spirit to intercede for us in power. In this confidence, we ask for you to accept our prayers, those prayers that we have already up for healing, for people already healed, people that need your loving touch, people that need relief from pain, people that need to know that you are present. Creator God, you entrusted the earth to the human race, yet we disrupt its peace with violence and corrupt its purity with our greed. Prevent your people from ravaging creation, that coming generations may inherit lands brimming with life. We pray for our families and for those who live alone. Holy God, from whom every family on earth takes its name, strengthen parents to be responsible and loving, that their children may know security and joy. Lead children to honor parents by compassion and forgiveness. May all people discover your parental care by the respect and love given to them by others. Compassionate God, we pray for any who suffer any sorrow or trial. Your Son gives rest to those who are weary with heavy burdens. Heal the sick in body, mind, and spirit. Lift up the depressed. Befriend those who grieve. Comfort the anxious. Stand with all victims of abuse and other crime. God of glory, you see how all creation groans in labor as it awaits redemption. As we work for you and await your new creation, we trust that you will answer our prayers with grace and fulfill your promise that all things work together for good for those who love you. Hear our prayer together, Lord, as we offer up that prayer that your Son taught to us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, but forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let us continue to pray our hearts by singing the hymn of preparation, Take Time to Be Holy, number 441.
Thank you.
Please be seated, yes. We read responsively this morning that God wants our joy to be complete. One of those ways that our joy can be complete is to offer back, give back to God our offerings with a joyful heart. Give to the Lord so others may be blessed.
Good morning, church family. I'm glad to be with you today.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Our scriptures today come from Isaiah and John. In Isaiah, it's a peek into God's plans for us. For he seems to be speaking at first to the Messiah, telling him what he expects of him. And then he gives a warning through Isaiah to all of us. In John, the John scripture comes right after Jesus tells his disciples that he is about to be betrayed and that he would be going away. And in this scripture, he reassures the disciples, as us, that there is a place for us in God's family and in heaven. So please listen to the scriptures and find that message that's just for you. Beginning with Isaiah 42, 5 through 9. This is what the Lord says. The creator of the heavens, who stretches them out, who spreads out the earth with all the springs from it, who gives breath to its people and life to those who walk in it. I, the Lord, have called you to righteousness. I will hold your hand. I will keep you and will make you to be a covenant for the people and a light for the Gentiles, to open the eyes of the blind, to free the captives from prison, and to release from the dungeon those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord, this is my name. I will not yield my glory to another or praise to idols. See the former things that have taken place, and the new things I declare. Before they spring into being, I announce them to you. And from John 14, 1 through 8. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe in also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, I would not have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back, and I will take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Lord except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. For now on, you do know him and have seen him. And Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that we may be enough for us. Bless the reading and hearing of our scripture.
Amen. Greetings to you, my friends, in the name of our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus, on behalf of Pittsburgh Presbytery and the Crestfield Camp and Conference Center. And guess what? It's summer, and so the staff up at Crestfield is more than just 7 people that are there year-round. Now we have more than 20 young adults up there. 20 young adults that will be as counselors, as waterfront directors, as lifeguards, as Bible study leaders, as worship leaders, and day camp coordinators. We are getting ready for summer up there, and so camp starts on June 17th. That's a week away. And you know what? I think I came here last summer, right before camp started. So this is a habit that we're getting into, and I really like this habit. I'll have to tell Leonard to go away again soon, huh? I hope that you have your child or your grandchild registered for camp. This is my commercial plug here. Christian camping is wonderful, whether it's at Crestfield or at another camp. There are so many in this tri-state area. Christian camping provides your child or your grandchild with the opportunity to develop their leadership skills, the opportunity to develop their self and improve their self-esteem. And you know what? We get the Bible in there like 4 times a day at least, and they don't even know it. So it's a great thing for them to experience. Please consider summer camp for your child or grandchild. And you know, it is summer. And already, my sister and June and I have started our summer activities. We've gone to 3 ball games already. We went down to the Arts Festival last week. And you know what's on our plans also? To go to Kennywood. We want to go to Kennywood. I want to go and ride the antique cars, the Tunnel of Love, and even the Jackrabbit and the Racer roller coasters. I'm not one for the Trabant or the pirate ship. Do you know those? They swing like this, or they go round and round and round. Those rides may excite you, but all that swinging back and forth and turning around and around, that turning upside down gets me on my head. I just get all topsy-turvy. Lots of times, Jesus' parables are also like that for me. These stories swing me around and back and forth and turn everything topsy-turvy. Parables shake us up. Parables get us to use our imagination and to get us thinking outside the box. In fact, parables help us to stretch and grow in our faith. Our text today that we read responsively could be thought of a parable. John, in his gospel, used the I am stories as a form of a parable. I am the shepherd, as Bill read in John 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the door. And then in our responsive reading, I am the vine. This parable genre certainly causes us to use our imagination and to stretch and to grow and be topsy-turvy. As I studied this passage, its contents and its words, the language, like the parable form, turns me topsy-turvy. Jesus is saying in this vine parable that in order to go, we must remain. It sounds like that paradoxical language of being poor in order to be rich, having peace amid the chaos, and dying in order to live, remaining in order to go, topsy-turvy all over. Where is the safety of those Kennywood antique cars? In our passage today, Jesus is getting ready himself to go. The upper room experience has just occurred. Jesus has washed the feet of the disciples. He has broken the bread and blessed it. He poured the cup, and he gave thanks. He even told Peter that Peter was going to deny him three times. Jesus is getting ready to go, but the disciples will remain. And Christ knows that the disciples need to hear and understand how they are to remain once he goes. To help them understand this, he offers them a vivid picture. I am the vine, you are the branches, my Father is the gardener. I think Billy back there needs some help with her gardening. Maybe this all ties into that too, huh? These are powerful images to draw upon and to remember so that the disciples can remain as they go. With this image, Jesus teaches us that we must remain connected to him as the living, fruit-bearing branch must remain attached to the vine. Separation from the vine results in a dry, withered branch that is easily tossed into the fire and burned. This is certainly topsy-turvy thinking from today's culture of ever-prominent individualism. Unlike usual practices of doing what each one of us wants to do, thinking of our own needs, we cannot go out there on our own and expect to survive, let alone bear fruit. When we do go out, we must remain connected to the vine. Remaining. John loves that word, remain, in this text. In the 8 verses that comprise the text, he uses remain 8 times. Frequently, the word is used as a command, not as an option to be exercised, but something that must be done, something that must be followed. Exegetical exam of the word, and here it comes in Greek. Are you ready? May you. Remains even more insightful. Remaining can have the definition of staying in the same place or physical location, such as remaining on the ship, staying on the boat. Yet remain can also have the definition of continuing, abiding. That's what we heard in the responsive reading. Remaining in connection with the triune God. We are not to remain on the ship. We are not to remain in the house. We are not to remain in this church building. We are to remain in Christ and stay connected with him. Jesus does not leave to chance how we are to stay connected to him. Oh no, this is not like an arcade game at Kennywood where only chance wins the prize. There is no chance involved here. Jesus gives us specific instructions on how we are to remain, how we are to stay connected to him. In verse 7, we are instructed to ask. Ask our triune God. And asking comes through praying. God wants us to hear. God wants to hear from us. God wants us to talk with him. A time of prayer is a time for us to talk, really talk to God and to ask. We need to provide the time to have this conversation so that we can remain in God. So I ask you, what is your prayer life like? Do you have daily time set aside to converse with God so that you can remain friends with God? Richard and Henry Blackaby, renowned Baptist theologians, tell us that more than any other single thing that we can do as Christians, it is our prayer life that determines our effectiveness. If we spend adequate time communing with God, the people we encounter during the day will notice the difference. When we give counsel to others, the wisdom of our words will reveal whether or not how we are being connected with the Spirit. When we take the risk of going and not staying, we will be driven on our knees in prayer. There will be times when we will come to the end of our own resources, that we will really be topsy-turvy. And in those times, we need to understand there is nothing more that we can do. Giving speeches won't fix the problem. Working or studying longer and harder will be futile. As Psalm 50, verse 15 tells us, there are simply some things that can only be achieved through prayer. Prayer helps us to remain connected and attached to that vine so that we are able to go out into the world as disciples of Christ. Some may think that prayer and remaining attached to the vine are merely for self-preservation, just so that we can stay alive and not be thrown into the fire and consumed like that dry, withered branch. Yes, prayer and remaining in Christ as the vine are needed for us to have life. But here's where it gets topsy-turvy all over again. The primary purpose of this remaining is not an individual one. It's not just so that we can exist individually and each one of us can preserve ourselves. Friends, we need to remain in the vine and be prayerful so that we can bear fruit by going out into the world. Sisters and brothers, I tell you that only by remaining connected to Christ, the vine through prayer, am I here before you this morning. 8 years ago, I used to be a member up at Hampton Church, and my pastor was Don Dawson. And 8 years ago, I went on a mission trip with my youngest son, who was then a freshman in high school. It was an international trip, mission trip to Ensenada, Mexico. I went on the trip because my son was going. I was chair of the Christian Education Committee at my church. And because my pastor, Don Dawson, was always asking me to go on a trip, and I just thought, okay, I'll go, and then Don won't ask me anymore. But during this time of prayer on that trip, I realized that God was calling me to something more with my life. My vocation up to then had been a nurse, and I loved my job. But I realized that God was calling me to do something else. I came home from that trip, and in 8 weeks, with the help of June's son, John, or man as I call him, I started seminary. Oh my goodness! 8 years later, with much prayer and through the power of the Holy Spirit, God is now using me as a pastor. For the past 7 years, I have been called to be the executive director up at Crestfield, and I gotta tell you, prayer helps me immensely to remain in Christ. It gets me through caring for the physical, emotional, and spiritual health of 600 children in 7 weeks. Prayer helps me remain in Christ to help care for the physical, emotional, and spiritual health of 20 young adults that come to serve. Prayer helps me work with these campers and this staff who need to feel loved and safe and cared for in a topsy-turvy world of violence, of drugs, and of estrangement. Prayer keeps me connected to Christ as I try to do the work God has called me to do. Now, I confess to you, I am certainly not always successful at that caring. I am certainly not always successful at that praying. But here is the good news. When I fail, Jesus reaches down and extends his hands and helps me to get up and go again. Together, my friends, we must prayerfully remain so that we all can go. The last words of Jesus before he starts this discourse of this I am the vine passage are, "Come now, let us leave." Jesus is taking us all somewhere. We are called to go somewhere. We may not know where that somewhere is. We may not know how we're going to get there. but we can be assured that it will be a topsy-turvy ride. It won't be safe like the antique cars at Kennywood. It will probably have more ups and downs than the Trevant or the roller coasters. Most likely, it will turn us upside down like the pirate ship or the Trevant. But you know what? It will be okay because Christ promises to remain in us. Christ is our vine. Beloved, in this topsy-turvy world, remain in Christ so that you can go and bear fruit. For as our text concludes, this is our Father's glory. Amen. Let us joyfully sing hymn of response number 574, If My People's Hearts Are Humbled.
Lord, may his face to shine upon you. May the Lord